To admit that we are offended almost every day by someone is probably an understatement. Amen? In our world at large, we have become super sensitive at being offended. And the programmed response, a lot of times, is anger. But some people even seek litigious actions towards the offender. And Brother James would write and ask this question. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. Thus, we become offended. Amen? And when someone doesn't get their way, do we throw ourselves down on the ground and stomp our feet and cry? Or if there's a differing viewpoint between two sides, someone has inadvertently been harmed by another, and what's produced out of that is a rift, is an uncomfortability with one another. And unless that rift, that uncomfortability is addressed, then feelings of resentment will fester. Does this sound like the Cable One commercial? If your TV is not getting reception, you get angry. When you get angry, you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, or I don't know, anyway. It's a whole buildup, right? Well, when you have a rift with someone else, resentments build up. And those feelings will give birth to emotional hurts such as feeling betrayed, feeling embarrassed, feeling rejected or even belittled, unimportant, depressed, angry, or even devastated. When you experience emotional pain in a relationship, it leads to ramifications that may affect your relationship with God, with your mind, with your health, even your finances, your marriage, and even your children. For example, let me give you an example here. Someone steals from you. Do we like it when someone steals from us? Right? It's offensive, right? You feel cheated. You feel betrayed. And it might even get to the point where you don't have enough money to pay for your bills. So you take on a second job, which takes away time from your family and causes problems in your marriage, all because someone stole from you. Now you react in a sinful way by using gossip or slander, rejection, or even judging others. Well, if they would only get their just due, then I would get my money. No, your money's gone, right? It's been stolen. The overall effect being that now you become a prisoner of unforgiveness. And the funny thing about that prison is it's not the other person that's in prison. It's you. It's you because you are in a prison of unforgiveness. Well, let's look at how to escape that prison today. The freedom of forgiveness is the title of today's message. And again, we're continuing on in the Lord's Prayer. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus would have us pray this. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, Jesus knew that you and I were going to have these types of problems in our life. He's not surprised by it. He is trying to tool us up, if you will, to equip us with the ability to know what to do. That we need to forgive our debts as we forgive others. That's what my children's story was about. And I might have gotten lost in that story. I'm not quite sure. But hopefully the kids understood, and if not the kids, at least you adults would understand, that if we don't forgive, then forgiveness comes back on us and we become a part of a prison. This is a lot of this teaching this morning is coming from the SALT training that we've been going through on Sunday afternoon and on Wednesday night. SALT stands for seven areas of life training. And this forgiveness section was a part of the book that we just went through on the social aspect of getting along with others. In fact, it was chapter 3 of the book. And I told the crowd on Wednesday, I said, you don't even have to show up Sunday because you guys already have this teaching. And they go, yeah, thanks, Pastor, but no, pass. The freedom of forgiveness. Your first fill-in. It's inside your bulletin if you want to follow along with us. Jesus wants you and others to experience God's forgiveness. Do you believe that? Jesus wants you and others to experience God's forgiveness. The book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says what? God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all our sins. And Nehemiah 9:17 says, you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Jesus wants you and others to experience God's forgiveness. Why else would he spend himself on a cross and die a death that you and I deserve? Jesus wants us, and not only us, but he wants others in our world to experience the fullness of God's forgiveness. And we do it in acknowledging our sins, but we also have to do it in our relationships with people around us, because as the Lord would have us pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You see, there are times when I might offend people. Really? Yeah, and there's times when you offend me. Really, Sharon? Just calling you out on that one. It just happens in relationships. You say something or you don't do something and the other person gets offended, right? And then all of a sudden you have this rift. You have this rift of misunderstanding that goes on between the two of you. And you usually try to wait the other one out. Well, they were at fault first. I'll let them bring the forgiveness first. God says that's not the way that we're to be. Jesus says, let us forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, we can be offensive, and we know at times that we are totally wrong. You know, it's that word that Fonzie had a hard time with, right? But we've got to be willing to admit that we're wrong. Wow, somebody help me. Yeah, sometimes. As that song goes, we're only human, right? We make mistakes too. All of us do in this room. And yet Jesus wants you and others to experience God's forgiveness. I like a book that John Maxwell wrote. It's called Failing Forward. And basically what John Maxwell is writing in his book is an acknowledgement that we will all make mistakes. Look around the room. Guess what? There's nobody perfect in here. Everybody has made their own mistakes. They've made bad choices. Those choices aren't any bigger than the other person's choices. They've all been wrong choices. And at the cross, it's all level ground. Christ died for all our sins. Right? And so we need to be willing to forgive others. Why? Because we've been forgiven so much. That's why Jesus would have us pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." Three things forgiveness is not. Would you read this little paragraph in your outline with me, please? Forgiveness is not simply trying to forget. It is not just letting time pass after an offense happens. It is not disregarding the wrong the other person has done against you or pretending the... It didn't matter. True forgiveness is choosing. True forgiveness is choosing to accept the blood of Jesus as the full payment for what your offender did. True forgiveness is choosing to accept the blood of Jesus as a full payment. Now, let's go back through these three things that forgiveness is not. Sometimes to understand what forgiveness is, we've got to understand the opposite, the antithesis of what that means. So forgiveness is not simply trying to forget. Someone has offended you and they've offended you greatly. Is it easy to forget that? No, we don't forget it. It kind of gets stored in our memory banks. And there are triggers and there are things that happen in our lives. Maybe some other innocent party does something else to us and it triggers that hurt, that pain that we went through by that other person. We were offended by that other person. And that thing triggers and we go back and we start remembering what had happened to us. Forgetting is not forgiveness. In fact, we are to learn. That's what John Maxwell's book is all about, that you fail forward. When things happen to you, you learn from those things and you step forward. You grow to acknowledge the faults of others or even your own faults, and you move forward with it. That the blood of Jesus is good enough. It's the full payment for what the offense was. So forgiveness is not simply trying to forget. It's not just letting time pass after an offense happens. Oh, well, you know, if we just let it, you know, for a couple more years, you know, that'll soon, it'll be yesterday's newspaper, it'll be water under the bridge, it'll be all these other statements that we come up with, right? That's not forgiveness. Because deep down, you're still holding on to the hurts. You're still holding on to the pains. You're still holding on to what happened to you in life. It's not disregarding the wrong the other person has done against you or pretending the offense didn't matter. Oh, I'll just dumb that thing down. I'm a bigger person than what happened to me. I just will pretend that that didn't ever happen. Occur. No, it did occur. Have a reality check. It happened in your life. Acknowledge it happened. Acknowledge the fact that you were offended by something, but then also acknowledge that Jesus' blood was full payment for that offense. Amen? Ephesians 4:32 says what? Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Oh, doesn't it feel good when you ask God to forgive you? And you know that that forgiveness is, you know, it's not like God sitting up there going, well, I don't know. I mean, that was kind of a biggie. You know, or that's something... Child, you keep going back through that again and again and again and again and again. God's not doing that to us, is he? So why do we turn around and do it to each other? Why? Because sometimes we feel like that we have an empowerment there. Well, if I don't forgive them, then I don't have to like that person. After all, I've got this grudge against them, and I don't have to accept them. And you know what? You've just put yourself into prison. You've kept yourself from really getting to know that person and having a fuller and even, you know, I mean, believe it or not, in 39 years of wonderful, blissful marriage, we have had a couple of arguments. Yeah. They've pretty much been her fault, but I've tried to overlook that. Excuse me. I'm here to serve notice. There has been offense on both of our sides. Neither one of us have been perfect in our marriage, even though she might try to tell you she is. Yeah. But the thing that makes our relationship stronger is acknowledging, hey, baby, I blew it. And she goes, yeah, you sure did. You know? And she does that too. You know, she puts her hands on the hips and just because she wants to nail that home. No, it's such a wonderful relationship to have those offenses that we do to one another forgiven. And to understand that there's a greater depth. There's a greater depth of our love for one another. That we earnestly care about each other in our relationship. We don't want rifts there. Why? Because those rifts will only fester into other problems, and we start looking and examining the other person. We can start being fault finders, and trust me, I've got plenty of fault for her to pick on. But I don't want her to. So I try to make sure that our relationship is golden. That I'm man enough to say, hey, baby, you know what? I blew it. And will you please forgive me? You see, just saying, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man, that used to irritate me when my children did that. I'm sorry. Kids, you want to get along with your parents? Don't just give them that, oh, I'm sorry. You know, no. Own up to what you did. Ask forgiveness for what you did. In that story earlier, if I'd have just gone to Mrs. Nelson and said, you know, you're right. Would you please forgive me for not forgiving my sister? Who knows what Mrs. Nelson might have done? She might not have made me have to pay for that window, but I had to pay for that window. And it took me a long time to pay for that window. And every time I had to make another payment to Mrs. Nelson for that window that I broke, it made me think about how bad I treated my sister. I was in prison because I wouldn't forgive my sister. And we become in prison when we don't forgive other people. Amen? So, four steps of forgiving. And again, this comes out of the SALT training. Step one, forgive the offense. Forgive the offense. We can make all sorts of judgments. We can try to justify why we feel what we're feeling and all the hurt and all the discomfort and all the different things that offense did to us. Step one is forgive the offense. Forgive it. Acknowledge that the blood of Jesus is good enough for you and for that person. Forgive the offense. Step two, forgive the hurt. Forgive the hurt. You see, this is where a lot of us will tend to throw our tents in camp. we camp in the field of hurt and pain. We feel betrayed. We feel embarrassed. We feel rejected. We feel belittled. We feel unimportant. We feel depressed. We feel angry and we feel devastated that this person could do this to me. What did that just sound like? It sounded very prideful, didn't it? And that many times is the sin of offense. It's our pride. How dare them do that to me? Right? Forgive the hurt. It's your choice. And you've got to examine your feelings about it all. Step three, forgive the ramifications. Forgive the ramifications. The ramifications are those things that happen as according to the offense that was done to you. As in the story that I gave for an example. Someone steals from you, you then don't have enough money for your rent, you then have to either go and borrow it from someone or you have to get a second job. You've got to do something that will make your life a little more uncomfortable. It will cause something more to be put upon you that you weren't asking for, but you've got to forgive the ramifications. You got to let go of it. That's step three. Step four is repent of your sinful reactions. Repent of your sinful reactions. Take ownership for what you did. Take ownership for how you have reacted to that person offending you. Those are the four steps of forgiving. Again, those come from the seven areas of life training. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. I love this passage because Peter just thinks that he's oh man, okay, I finally got one. I'm going to really shine good here before the Lord. And he says, what? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Peter thought he was just being really generous. You know, how often do I forgive this brother for what he's done to me? The same thing over and over. Seven times? Oh, that was a great number to Peter. What was Jesus' answer? Jesus replied, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Kids, any of you know what 70 times seven is? Yeah, seven times seven. 77 times seven. That's a huge number, right? Okay, math geniuses in the room. 490. 490 times in a day you are to forgive someone of the sins that they commit against you. That's a lot of times to forgive, isn't it? Can I do that just out of my own empowerment? No. No, because what does my self talk about? Well, I'd rather be offended. I'd rather start thinking about my hurts, my feelings, and what that person did to me. And I'd rather put myself in a prison of unforgiveness rather than to forgive this person. Jesus says, no, I don't say it up to seven times, but 70 times seven. You got to forgive the offense. You got to forgive the hurt. You've got to forgive the ramifications. You got to repent of your own sinful reactions. And lastly, if you know that you have offended someone else, we all know it. Whether we want to admit it or not is a whole nother ballgame. But there are times when we know that we have willingly offended someone else. And what are we to do? And that's the last point on the outline. We are to do what? Seek forgiveness when you have wronged others. You got to seek forgiveness when you've wronged others. Have you hurt someone by your words or actions? Then repent. Go through the process of forgiving them and then go to them or call them, admitting to your fault and asking them to forgive you. Do what you need to do to make restitution and respond quickly. In fact, the Word of God tells us we're not to let the sun go down on our offenses to one another. It says, if you therefore come to give your offerings unto the Lord on the altar, and there remember that you have done something ought against your brother, or that you have something ought against your brother, it says to do what? To leave that sacrifice there. In other words, you'll come back and you'll offer that to God when you have a purified and cleansed relationship with others. You go and you leave that sacrifice there, and you go and you make things right with your brother before the sun goes down. Because if you don't, what happens? Time does not let things heal. Time only lets you find more things wrong with that person. And you'll start holding more and more things. Well, if they'd have only done this, then I could have forgiven them. But no. And you remember what, well, they did this too. And they did this. And we start getting a whole list of things against this person. And we go away totally from the issue that we had, the one issue that we had. The Bible says, go and take care of that before the sun lets down. Why? Because you give the devil a foothold if you don't. You give the devil a foothold if you don't. Because he will allow there to be offense between brothers and sisters. And is that the way we're supposed to live with each other? No, we're not supposed to, are we? In fact, Romans 12:18 says what? Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Now, there are going to be some people we cannot live at peace with. That was a quick amen. And I think most of us in this room would agree with that. That there are some people, and so that's why I love what Paul says here, as much as possible. As far as it's within your realm, live at peace with everyone. So in other words, we need to be about this freedom of forgiveness. Because otherwise, we just hold ourselves in a prison of unforgiveness. We don't put that person in bondage. We put ourselves in bondage when we are not willing to forgive others. And Jesus, what was our first point? Jesus wants what? Jesus wants you and others to experience what? He wants you and others to experience God's forgiveness. Well, how can they experience God's forgiveness if you won't give them forgiveness? After all, you are God's ambassadors. You are the aroma of Christ to some people. You are all the Bible that some people are ever going to see or hear from. So are they seeing God's forgiveness being exerted by you? Or are you holding yourself in a prison of unforgiveness? Loving Heavenly Father, search us and know our hearts. See if there is any offensive way within us. And Lord God, if we are holding feelings against people because of the hardness of our hearts, would you please break it right now through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that we might let go of those hurts and those feelings and decide that, you know what, your blood, Jesus, was good enough to forgive any offense, either of my own or of others towards me. Thank you, Father. Empower me to be mindful of how I offend others. And let me be quick to offer up forgiveness, to ask for it, to acknowledge that, you know what, I've done something wrong. And I want to have our relationship be right. Let us be tender-hearted toward one another in this way, Lord, keeping peace between everyone as much as it's within our ability to do so. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said,